A minister told his congregation, "Next week I plan on preaching about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark 17. The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark 17. Every hand went up. The minister smiled and said, "Mark has only 16 chapters." I will now proceed on my sermon on lying. Over the years, there have been two jokes that I have heard a million times. Because I run a cemetery, almost everyone at one time or another will tell me, "Oh, a cemetery. I bet people are just dying to get in there." The other is a joke my buddy Don Friedland had told me at least 50 times over the years. Because I'm also a painter, Don had a painting joke. Anytime painting came up, anytime, anywhere, he would try and tell me that painting joke again. And then when I would tell him, "Don, I've already heard it," he would just gently ease someone near me and tell them the joke. So unfortunately for everyone here, Don, buddy, here's your joke again. Two men were contracted to paint a small community church. And they were kind of cheap. They bid it kind of low. So as they were painting, they realized they were running out of paint, so they started to add water to it. And then they painted more. They realized they still weren't going to finish. They added a little more water and a little more water. And finally, they were near the steeple, and the clouds came in. It got dark and dark. It started to rain, and all their washed-down paint started to wash away, and there was a booming voice from the heavens, "Repaint, you thinners, repaint, and thin no more." Repent, you sinners, and sin no more. With Easter just a few weeks away, you might wonder, what exactly does repentance have to do with Easter? Well, it has everything to do with Easter. Repentance is the start of our relationship with Christ. It forms a bridge to the eternal relationship with Him, because Christ died to pay for the very sins that we are turning away from. In Luke 24, he wrote, "This is what is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." This is a demand of every soul: repent. Not only do we repent when we receive Christ, but we continue to live in repentance for the rest of our lives. Repentance is the proper response of worship we daily give as we grow in our hatred of all that offends our Savior, who died for us from sin to free us. There can easily be a harshness in the preaching of repentance. Repent or perish. You can just see the Old Testament-looking Charlton Heston on a mountaintop with lightning crashing all around in the background as he's preaching, "Repent from the sins or you will die." We can even see a harshness in this morning's fig tree parable. "For 3 years now I've been coming to look at the fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up all the soil?" But if we see the man, the gardener, taking care of the vineyard, if we see him as Jesus, the reply he gives, "Leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it." A completely different look or a take to the situation. It is a response of hope and grace. He is saying, "I'll take care of it. I'll love it. And it will one day produce fruit." Sin, as defined in the original translation of the Bible, means to miss the mark. The mark, in this case, is the standard of perfection established by God and evidenced by Jesus. Viewed in that light, it is clear that we are all sinners, and each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. In light of this, it does no good to compare ourselves to others. We cannot escape our failure to be righteous in our own strength. This is by God's design, because only when we understand our weaknesses will we consider relying on the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Only when we understand our weaknesses will we consider relying on the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Now, sin is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, starting with the original sin, with Adam and Eve eating from the tree of knowledge. Sin often seems as if it's a simple violation of God's laws. Paul, however, puts it in perspective in Romans 3:20, when he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. God wants us to recognize our sins. Even those who have not murdered or committed adultery will find themselves convicted of lying or of worshiping false idols like wealth or power ahead of God. Tragically, sin in any amount will distance us from God. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, says Isaiah 59. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's an Old Testament Charlton Heston type line again. Distance us from God. Like God is hurt and disappointed in us. I don't like that view. God is not disappointed in us because we hurt him. God is not the repent or perish, burn in damnation God that some like to think he is. God loves us. He loves us. God is hurt because our sin is pulling us away from him. God wants the best for us. We cannot be at our best when we have sin dragging us down day after day and year after year. I found an old prayer that reads, how easily it is for the old sin nature to influence our thinking and cause any of us to become enemies of the cross when through self-righteousness or pride we try to do things in our own strength rather than dying to self and living our new Christ life in Christ. Keep me from falling into the old flesh ways that I may learn to walk in spirit and truth to your praise and glory. Prevent me from falling into any self-righteous or legalistic thinking and keep me resting in Christ, submitted to the Holy Spirit of truth. Confessing our sins is creating an open line of conversation and hope that opens the door for Jesus' gift of salvation. In 1 John 1:8 through 10, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his words have no place in our lives. Now my Jesus view of repentance, repentance matters a great deal. Repentance is the one and most important things that you will ever do. Once we recognize ourselves as sinners, we need only repent and embrace Jesus to be forgiven. Jesus can forgive us because he died and rose again 3 days later in victory over sin and death. The biblical repentance simply means a change of mind. In what the words literally mean, you can change your mind about anything, but Jesus calls us to change our mind and believe in the good news that comes from Mark. True repentance is evidenced by turning to God. A pastor writes, no matter how much I preach on grace, some people just can't see the cross for their sins. They write to me and tell me I'm underselling repentance. What they mean is, you're not telling people to turn from their sin. It's true, I seldom do. I'd rather talk about God's goodness than their badness. Yet often the message we hear is this: God is holy and He won't accept you unless you turn from sin. His acceptance and favor come by grace alone. Got a sin problem? Turn to the cross and behold Christ. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. His grace is your only hope. People need to hear how much God loves them. They need to hear about His unconditional favor and grace. The best way to tell them is to reveal the finished work of the cross. When the Christians fell into sin, Paul didn't preach to them, turn from sin. Instead, he reminded them of their identity in Christ. He understood the grace, not dead works, is a cure for sin. Paul said repentance comes as a consequence of learning about goodness of God. That's Romans 2:4. So if you want people to repent, tell them how good God is. We need to preach the good news, which is this: God loves you. It's hard for people to understand that. He died for you. He offers you His righteousness. Do you believe it? God's power for salvation, for your forgiveness, for healing, for deliverance, and for provision is revealed in the good news of grace. Do you believe that? All the blessings of God come to us by grace alone. Hayden Robinson, a preacher, tells the story of a young woman who talked to her minister about the sin of pride. She said, "Every Sunday I come to church and I look around and I think to myself, I'm the prettiest girl in church. I try to stop, but I just can't. Am I horribly sinful?" The minister looked at her and said, "No, dear, you're not horribly sinful. You're just horribly mistaken." Earlier in our text, some of the folks came to Jesus to talk not about their own sins, but the sins of others. And Jesus tells them that they are horribly mistaken. There is a greater power in the repentance that Jesus tells the crowd here twice to repent. Many of us also have a tendency to think that repentance almost solely consists of admitting a fault, throwing out a "my bad," and moving on. A truly weak attempt at repentance. True repentance comes not merely by understanding the relational aspect of sin, but by understanding the nature of one with whom we are in relationship with. In other words, the more we see God as glorious and holy, the more we will see sin as something to weep over. Repentance is less about feeling bad over our behavior and more about feeling awe and delight towards God. The more glimpses we have at the glory of God, the more we mourn for scorning that glory. In the end, God's plan for us is that we will be holy as He is holy, in 1 Peter. He will surely do it. In the meantime, He desires a broken-hearted people who have learned to mourn over their sin. Faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Repentance, like faith, is a positive response to something God has said or done. John said little about repentance, but he talks about believing over and over. He wrote, "So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have a life in His name." The key to life is not turning from sin, but in trusting in Jesus. True repentance, like all good things, is a gift from God. Mercy Me wrote a song entitled "God With Us." And the words are, we are free in ways we never should be. Sweet release from the grip of chains, like hinges straining from the weight. My heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, "You alone are glorified, Emmanuel, God with us." My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, the chains are gone, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, You know, our hearts don't deserve your glory. Still you show a love we cannot afford, such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. My heart sings a brand new song. There are a few things in our Christian life that give us joy. That ultimate joy where our hearts want to sing, even those who sing as badly as me. When we are released from that sin, when the chains fall free, when we feel light and full of life, when we get that special feeling that we are connecting with God and we feel welcomed back. Repentance should be a lifestyle. It's wonderful. It's a life-giving thing to grow in the knowledge of Him who called us. The one message I hope that you take away loud and clear from all this is that it's all about Jesus and what He has done. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about what we have done. See Him, know Him, fix your eyes on Him, marvel at Him, and repentance will follow as natural as breathing. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, in your grace and mercy, you have provided forgiveness of sins, life and salvation to all those whose faith is in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us from the paths of sin to repentance and humility, trusting in your word and promises. Bring to repentance all who reject your word and your ways. Protect your faithful and give them boldness of faith to stand up against the assaults of the devil and this evil world. Give to all believers peace and the promise of life everlasting. In your name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.